I know you've all been wondering, what does a theophany sound like? So you're wondering what a theophany sounds like. This is a theophany. Then God appeared. That's how it always happened. When the Ten Commandments, all that, like, there's this theophany, and you knew that something was happening because you could see it up in the mountain. It was God is present. And so in today's first reading, when Elijah's told to go stand in the cave, that God is going to be present, he's expecting this theophany. Surely, when the wind was blowing and howling and the trees were getting uprooted, God must be present. God, where are you? No God. But then the earth was shaking and crashing and tumbling down. Surely God must be present in the shaking and the tumbling down. Where are you, God? Surely you must be here. No God. And then there's this rip-roaring fire. I mean, it was like unbelievable. It was just like burning everything. God must be in this, but nothing. No God. And then there was this quiet whispering sound. You could barely hear it. It sounded like this. I know, it's a little over melodramatic. But that's what he was expecting. And all of a sudden, he realized in this quiet, whispering sound, this gentle breeze, God present. Amidst all the chaos and all the tumult of the world, amidst all the confusion and all the hassle, the pandemic and the economy and the riots and this happening and this happening, what we need to do is quiet ourselves so that we can hear the gentle voice of God. Because God wants to speak to your heart and to my heart gently, peacefully, mercifully. But it's dangerous hearing the voice of God. See, there they were, those disciples on the boat, and the water's turning over. It's like a theophany. Like, where's God in all this? God should be here, because like it's just the thunder's rolling, and it's like you could see Kansas from there probably. And all of a sudden, they look out and they go, it's a ghost. It's not a ghost, it's me, Jesus. Come on, fellas. And then Peter blurts out, and you can almost see him saying it. You can almost see him like trying to catch the words as he says it. Well, if it's you, tell me to come out after you. Why did I say that? And Jesus says, amidst all the chaos, come. Come. Get out of the boat. Come. So he tests the water. It's not frozen like in Minnesota. Shoot. And he gets out and he realizes he's walking on the water. See, when you quiet yourself so deeply, you might hear Jesus say, come, get out of the water. He might tell you to get out of that boat and walk on this water, because when you begin walking on the water, things begin to happen. And you and I are called to walk on the water. Now, walking on the water was easy. The water that God wants you to walk on is in our society. See, what if God wants you and me to be a theophany of God's presence? What if God is calling us, all of us, to manifest his presence in the world in which we live in? Not as some raging, rip-roaring fire, but a theophany of quiet whisper, gentleness, and comfort. Get out of the boat. Get out of the boat. And instead of bringing judgment, bring mercy. Get out of the boat. Get out of the boat. Instead of bringing chaos, bring calm. Get out of the boat. And instead of bringing greed into the world, bring generosity. Get out of the boat. Instead of bringing fear into the world, bring trust. That's what God's calling us to do as his people. That's what the world needs around us, everywhere. So let's be like Peter. Let's have that fortitude of Peter, that craziness of Peter, maybe. And hear Jesus say, come, come, get out of the boat, get out of the boat. I need you walking on water now. And don't worry. If like Peter, you start to falter, you start to sink, all you need to do is say as he did, Lord, save me. And Jesus will grab you up again and bid you to walk a little further. Because the world needs theophanies of the love of God. And so as you leave here, wherever you go, to work, back to Colorado, wherever it might be, go as a theophany of God's love.